Stay up to date on the green and gold all season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee.
State of the Packers 2026 rolls on live from Summerfest just outside of the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone. I'm Alex Strope alongside the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde. I think that's low for the quality of work he does. And the best in the business, Mr. Worldwide, Gabe Neitzel. Does that make you uncomfortable now?
No, but I probably, if I rejoined that group and got marshaled some votes from you guys and got you guys to pay $50 a year to vote for me, yeah, I could probably win another
one. If you pay it on my behalf, I'll definitely vote for you.
I'll pay yours. I'll pay $100 to vote for Jason.
Well, then you got to vote for Gabe, too, so he wins something.
Oh, I think he's deserving. Right. All right, let's get back to it now.
When's the first day of training camp?
July 29th.
July 29th.
Okay.
A month from Monday.
Okay. So I was about to say, we're getting close to a month away from this all being real.
This is your fault because you know I have a squirrel brain. typically, we do the show on the last weekend of Summerfest, but this year it lined up with the 4th of July. I assumed everybody was busy, so we did this weekend. You typically, when we do the show, have just started your 20 most important Packers series. When does that begin at channel3000.com?
Well, if the first day of camp is the 29th, I guess I have to start it around the 8th.
Okay, so a little bit later this year, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, camp starts late. Like, there's been other years where it started like July 21st.
Sure.
And that's why we're into it already.
So that is your literal countdown to training camp.
Yeah, it's that, and then I do also this program in a written form, and probably just as poorly edited as this show is. written form, position by position, yeah.
I feel like that was a shot at me somehow.
No, not at all. Look, I'm not going to come down here. This beautiful view, all these great fans have come by and start casting aspersions about your clock management. Like, hello, pot, this is kettle. You're black. So, no, I'm not going to do that.
Channel3000.com where you can get all of Jason's.
Why Mike McCarthy can't go into TV, man? Can you imagine him calling out another coach for clock management?
Channel3000.com, Jason's written work, as well as the Extra Points newsletter, which I'm a subscriber to. It'll be coming back soon, I assume.
Yeah, I haven't sent one out in about a week.
I've noticed.
But we had some unsubscribers. Like, they don't want it during the off season or something. So I'm sorry that you haven't been getting. I will just email you directly.
That'd
from my
great.
Personal account.
That'd be great.
Any links that you want to read.
Personalized newsletter for me. All right. Let's get to the state of the linebacker. The Packers' leading tackler last year, obviously, Quay Walker, the fifth-year option, not picked up. He walks. He goes to the Raiders, signs a pretty big contract over there. The Packers, way back in the offseason, trade for Zaire Franklin, the former All-Pro from Indianapolis. They send Colby Wooden, the defensive tackle, in exchange for Zaire Franklin services. And obviously, Edgerrin Cooper is entering year three. It's a guy everybody was super excited for last year. Didn't seem to totally click all season for him, though. He had a fine season.
Would you call it a step back last year? Or just not a step forward? And I know your favorite thing is not all growth is linear, so it doesn't mean that suddenly Edgerrin Cooper is not a good player. But was it a step back or just kind of a plateau?
Not only is Gabe having one of the greatest shows in the history of ESPN Wisconsin, but even there, like the setup there, and even the reference into how I love to say growth is not linear, it's a great question. And we talked to Edgerrin Cooper for quite a while at the end of the minicamp, and what I loved about him was that he took ownership, that he did not make the jump. He probably would feel the way I do about your question, which is it's kind of both, right? Like if you didn't take a step forward, then it's kind of like taking a step back because what he did last year, I mean, we all know our good friend Uncle Homer. So, I mean, how many times has Homer said, this guy won Defensive Player of the Week, not Rookie Defensive Player of the Week. He won it twice.
I've heard it once or
right.
twice.
And then,
yeah.
But along with those splash plays, you didn't see those in year two very frequently until, of course, the Bears game. And then he left that in that playoff game, and they missed him dearly. So I would say he did not take – I'm sure he grew and advanced – but he certainly did not have the impact that everyone, including Edgerrin Cooper, was expecting.
Zaire Franklin, what are the expectations for a guy that had kind of a down year last year but came off the All-Pro year the year prior? Indianapolis was willing to trade him for an up-and-coming defensive tackle. That whole thing is kind of confusing to me, but he's going to fill the hole left by Quay Walker.
Yeah, he is. They are the duo. that will be on the field as off-the-ball linebackers, and they are counting on him to play at the level he played at in 2024. And whether or not he does will be a huge component to how good Jonathan Gannon's defense is.
I find it interesting when it's Zaire, because Hargrave is like this as well. Two veterans that they're adding over 30, both coming at the recommendation of Jonathan Gannon. So he's the one who goes out there, makes the recommendation, and both were, by the way, willing to sprint here for Gannon, which makes me excited for Gannon that players feel that way about him and go, yes, this is a guy I want to play for.
Pew, pew.
So how much do we think that Goody actually changed, and how much of it, and we've seen this with special teams coordinators, we've seen it with defensive coordinators before when they first get to Green Bay, it's almost like Goody asks, hey, what do you need? What do you need to help you make this transition and make your unit good? Those guys make suggestions, and then Goody's been pretty good about going and getting those guys. And the biggest example, I would say, for the previous defensive coordinator is he sat there in his opening press conference, because it actually happened before free agency, and he talked about a safety and basically was describing Xavier McKinney, and then the Packers went out and signed Xavier McKinney in free agency. So how much do we think that the addition of the veterans is Goody actually changing his opinion, and how much of it is he's following kind of something he's done before in listening to new coaches?
First of all, like the Xavier McKinney piece, it is still mind-boggling that he got out of the Giants building.
It's a great point.
Like how that happened and how Joe Shane got an extension. I understand Harbaugh's really running the show there, but that should have been a fireable offense. Not in the same offseason that you let the best running back in football leave, too, by the way.
In which your owner said, if he walks out of the building, I'm going to be pretty sick about it.
Right. So I don't know if Goody... people change for two reasons. Either one, they just look in the mirror and say, I can't be this person anymore. Or two, they are given a violent shove into changing because of circumstances. And when you let Quay Walker walk, which they tried to re-sign him. Quay Walker clearly wanted nothing to do with this, right? He had an offer on the table in the fall, set it on the record, which never happens. It was great to be able to say, yeah, Quay Walker told me, literally, that he had an offer on the table and he hadn't signed it. And then he gets to Las Vegas and says that he was misused, which, again, I heard Devondre Campbell say that, too. He was misused in other places. Then the Packers used him correctly for 1 year. And then when he didn't have a good year the next year, suddenly they weren't using him rightly again.
Chewy had pointed out, that was something that Chewy had noticed as well. He just said, I don't think this guy's a middle linebacker. I think the Packers are playing him out of position.
Really?
So, yeah. So when I heard him say that, it made sense to me, maybe because I've heard Chewy say it so much, that, hey, I'm more of a sideline to sideline, don't have to be the guy in the middle. I can be
Quay Walker.
Oh, the athletic
Devondre
guy.
Oh, yeah, Devondre Campbell when he's, like, leaving the field with his team.
Oh, yeah. No, the Devondre Campbell
thing.
I was talking about Quay.
And I would agree with that to a degree, but at the same time, like, I think there were opportunities for him to make more plays.
Sure.
Right? And he didn't make them.
Yep.
So, could you have been used in a way that was more, appropriate for your skill set? Sure. I don't have a problem with that, and especially if Chewy saw it the same way, that means a lot coming from him. That said, they need these two guys to make some plays. They don't have to be, the second coming of Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. Remember those 49ers defenses? But they need them to be difference makers. They don't have to tilt the field, but they have to make it lean just a little bit in their direction.
I would almost make the argument one of them has to kind of tilt the field, especially early on in the season with no Micah Parsons. Like, Edrin Cooper needs to be Defensive Player of the Week good.
Well,
he needs to be that guy consistently.
Should we have put Edrin Cooper into the group of edge rushers that could be?
They did line him up there during the minicamp.
So
I did see that multiple times.
Very intriguing.
It seems like they want to try to use him as a weapon that they can move around the field, or at least are toying with that idea.
Well, what we've seen through 2 years is that's probably a guy you should treat as a weapon. He is a guy you should treat as one of the anchors of your defense because he has that potential for sure. And hopefully in year three, he can really grow into it and blossom.
And if you have someone like that who's going to be trying to make all these plays, I think you need to have somebody solid next to him. And that's what I look at Zaire Franklin being. It was a down year for him last year, and I'm not a connoisseur of inside linebacker play, but Pro Football Focus still had a really good tackling grade for them. So this is still a dude that, okay, maybe he didn't make as many big plays and wasn't all pro last year, but he's still somebody who is a sure tackler. And that's
and they could use a guy like that.
Yes, especially if you're going to try to let Edgerrin Cooper loose a little bit more to try to make more plays.
Hopefully him and Carrington Valentine can spend some time together. By the way, also, we didn't mention the name Isaiah McDuffie, who the Packers like him a lot.
He's a good backup.
Yeah, but where's it? Yeah.
Well, if you're moving around Edgerrin Cooper, I'm saying, then that's obviously who fills in, right?
Theoretically,
If you're lining up Cooper outside, then you still have Franklin and McDuffie in the middle. I think you feel okay about that.
Isn't it more troubling that we haven't said the name Tyron Hopper?
Yes.
But if you just stop and think about Tucker Kraft and all the things he's accomplished, perhaps the biggest is that he's a really good player as a third-round pick by the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. It's a curse under Brian Gutekunst.
I thought I saw Jay Sternberger here.
Oh, really?
No. But it could have happened.
Now, that's a good pop.
Really?
All right, we will take a look at the final defensive group, the defensive backs, coming up next. And then, of course, we will have to mix in some kicker talk, as well as look at the state of the union, effectively. The Packers overall ahead of the 2026 season. All still ahead. We are live at Summerfest. This is our annual State of the Packers show on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. State of the Packers 2026 rolls on live from Summerfest, just outside the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone. Beautiful Saturday afternoon.
It is beautiful.
I believe this is what they call a Chamber of Commerce Day.
I don't know what that means.
Such a great show.
I don't know what that means.
It's like the Chamber of Commerce promotes your community, and this is the kind of day that you would promote your community based upon.
How old are you? It seems like an old man phrase.
I got bad news for you, pal.
You're not that old.
He's not young. Just because he started at this company when he was 8, everybody thinks he's young.
We're getting up there, pal.
You don't look a day over 41, Gaber.
That's right. Troublesome.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's talk defensive backs. We really
the GRB raise.
Shout out. Greg Reinhardt and the team at GRB. Let's break this into two parts. Let's start with the safeties. We like them.
They're great.
Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams, really good.
And so is Javon Bullard,
but kind of technically a slot corner, but obviously plays a little bit both. Really good piece. And you were
Swiss Army knife.
You're really high on him, it seems, going into
extremely
his third season.
Extremely high on him.
And I love Evan Williams. He's like my favorite Packer. These days. I think he took a huge step forward in year two. I think that's only going to continue into year three. And he's paired next to an all-pro. So safeties, we feel really good about.
Yeah, that's my – if like, back in the day – in fact, I was looking for something in the garage the other day, and I came across my story where they let me in the offensive line meeting room.
Oh.
With Tausch, Cliffy, Marco Rivera, Mike Wall, and Mike Flanagan. I did it as a season preview story for the State
Journal. So this
Journal,
is what, like 2001?
No, 04, I think it was, before the 04 season. Those were my guys, right? And obviously now I do a show with one of them for 10 years. My guys now is the safety group.
Mm.
Like McKinney and Williams and Bullard are, those are my, like if I have nothing that I need to work on, I'm usually talking to one of the three of them or your guy, Jade Reed. Those are the guys I'm talking
about. It's their most complete group, in my opinion. But real quick, additions, objections, anything else on safeties?
Maybe it is the Jason Wilde influence, and I hear him talk about this guy so much. But if I had to pick one player that is going to break out this year, it's going to be Javon Bullard.
And that's only because I would argue that Evan Williams already did.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
I totally agree. So you're running out of options defensively. Has Edgerrin Cooper broken out?
Catan Oladapo.
Has Edgerrin Cooper broken out? We would say technically yes, but also not all the way.
He had a great rookie season.
Yeah.
He is not broken. I would say he would be eligible for our – if we were to do a breakout season pick, he would be eligible.
But Evan Williams would not be.
No, I think he had a really good season. I think he is a bona fide top-flight NFL safety.
Everybody was, oh, man, how come Xavier McKinney's not having a good year? And then he was second-team All-Pro.
Yep. Right. Bingo. Yeah, they're really good on the back end.
Yeah, so he didn't have 8 interceptions in 8 games.
Well, let's go outside. Let's go to the other piece of the defensive back puzzle,
do
which
we have
is certainly
to? We're
a puzzle.
So much fun talking about how good
that
the safeties
fun,
are.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's so
like
good.
The highest our boot got. That and when Major Goolsby's delivered food.
Keyshawn Nixon's underpaid.
Yep.
Carrington Valentine can't tackle.
Correct.
Brandon Cisse's 20 years old and a rookie.
I mean, that's fun that he's 20.
Benjamin St. Juice is a fine fourth cornerback.
Well, he was the highest rated zone corner in the NFL last season.
And he played, what, 30% of snaps?
He played 35% of snaps, yeah.
I don't know what to make of this room at all. I hope, talk about my guys, my guy Carrington Valentine, who I got to spend some time
he
with
is
the
your
NFL
guy.
Draft. I hope he worked on tackling this offseason because he's fine in coverage.
I think he's, and by the way, I think he had some pretty high profile missed tackles. But I think when he actually, puts his arms around the guy that he's tackling, he's not that bad.
You just hadn't given Gabe a hug yet today? Is that what just happened there?
Well, how do you know? I just think coaches love to talk about fundamentals. That's a great example of why they talk about fundamentals all the time. Because for him to think as a 195-pound corner, that's twice that happened late last season where he thought, I'm going to blow this dude up. And he hit him really hard, and the guy didn't go down, and then he kept running.
Yep.
And you just can't do that. And the Packers, both in Jeff Hafley's system previously and now in Jonathan Gannon, they expect that crack and replace, and those corners have to be able to tackle. It's one of the reasons why Jair Alexander, after being run over by Najee Harris in 2021, was just never the same player anymore, because I can't emphasize enough how during his first 3 seasons we would watch him and go, how is a guy this little, this physical? That was one of the things that were special about him.
He got injured being physical.
Right.
You know, it's not like
he's never the same again.
He met Najee. Like, he came up and he had force.
And Najee, that's like running into Eddie Lacy.
Right.
That was the same type of running back that he was.
Yeah. All right, is Keyshawn Nixon going to hold in / out?
Oh, what? Really?
Just give me a yes or no.
We're having so much fun.
Just give me a yes or no.
Right, but that's whatever I say is not. So this all, you know what happened, right?
No.
So I mentioned to Tausch that I had talked to Keyshawn off the record during the minicamp.
Yep.
And he kept trying to ask me, is he going to hold out? I said, he did not say that to me in any point of our conversation on the record. And then he just kept pushing and pushing, and then the aggregator world made a big thing out of it. And then the Packers got wind of it because they used the clip of me not saying that he would or wouldn't hold out on Cheesehead TV. And thankfully, they took it to Keyshawn Nixon, because I was planning on talking to Keyshawn that day in the locker room to say, hey, I said this on the radio. I would never betray any confidences. And he never said he was going to. Let me just be clear, even though it was off the record. At no point did he say to me, I am going to hold out. He never, ever said
that. Did he ever say he was going to hold in?
No, he never said that either. Now, but I'm not willing to sit here and say he is going to practice on day one, because I don't know that. Now, do I think that would be a good move for him? I don't. Do I think he's underpaid? Absolutely.
Definitely. He is.
Like, however you feel as a... I'm going to look into the camera. You feel as a Packers fan about Keyshawn Nixon, that's fine. And you think, oh, he turned down that tackle, even though that guy was going to score anyway at the goal line in the playoff game. If you're mad at him, fine. But the fact that he is the number one corner on your favorite football team and being paid $4 million...
Not his fault?
Is not his fault. It is Brian Gutekunst's fault. And that's fine. And Brian Gutekunst is probably going to remake that position next year anyway with the guys he drafted this year and another batch of guys. But it's not wrong for Keyshawn Nixon to say, if I'm your number one corner, I deserve to make more than $4 million
this
year.
Yeah.
If Keyshawn Nixon was your number two corner, he deserves to make more than $4 million next year. Keyshawn is... I know he is.
He's had some bad moments.
He's not
everyone's cup of tea.
No,
correct.
But he's not
good
a bad corner.
It. He's not.
He's not a bad cornerback. Really, and isn't. When he hits, because I don't think the Packers are going to give him a new contract.
No.
When he hits free agency next year, he's going to be making more than $4 million per year.
Even at age 29.
Teams need corners, and he can play slot. obviously the Packers don't need him to play slot because of how good Bullard is, and maybe if Bullard, again, not hoping that he gets hurt, but if there is an injury there, he can slide down and maybe they play somebody else on the outside. But he can play inside, he can play outside, and that is valuable for NFL teams when you can do that.
Yeah, look, Keyshawn Nixon and I are not friends. We have a really good working relationship. You know, I did a piece a couple Mother's Days ago about him and his mom, and ever since then he and I have been tight from a reporter-player standpoint. He did not betray his plans, and if he had, I would have told him, can I introduce you to my friend, who wasn't really my friend, but I would use that phrase, Elgton Jenkins, because he can tell you all about how this is going to turn out.
Yeah.
So I don't think that – I think he's just in a rock and a hard place, and neither option is good for him. That said, I just feel like he should be the type of player that Packers fans should celebrate. He was a guy that was signed as an – first of all, started out as an undrafted free agent, signed for the veteran minimum off the Raiders, and is an all-pro – first-team all-pro return guy. Then becomes a guy that plays as their slot corner for an entire year in addition to returning. Then becomes your number one corner and, by the way, plays – more than passably as your number one corner, whether you think he should be your corner or not. So what bothers me about how some fans, and it's not everybody, but yes, does him saying, I don't want to return kicks anymore, rub people the wrong way? Yes. Are there other things that he might say that you don't like to hear? Yes. Is he brash? Yes. I
you
get
almost
all that.
Have to be. That's almost
It's
like a prerequisite in order to play that position.
If you're a wideout or a corner, you have to speak that way.
And think about how it's so hard to go from slot to the outside. Guys can't do it. The Packers thought that Nate Hobbs was going to be able to do it.
Great point.
He could not do it. So for him to do what he's done, it's an incredible career. Like you said, it's one of those stories. I feel that a lot of, in the past, Packers fans have grabbed and jumped onto, but I think because he's said some things that's rubbed people the wrong way, they just don't like him.
Yeah, I mean, he has not achieved to the height that Tremont Williams, who's going to the Packers Hall of Fame, is, but it's a similar trajectory.
Yes.
He did not become – Tremont Williams for 2-3 years was one of the top five corners in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Keyshawn Nixon is that, but he followed a similar trajectory of, you know, Tremont Williams was going to a different NFL city every Tuesday looking for a job,
right,
and became one of the top corners in the league. Those are the kinds of guys, those success stories should resonate, and for whatever reason, with a – meaningful portion of the fan base, it does not with Keyshawn Nixon.
I think the ultimate point on the corners is what we saw last year, and that is if you can generate a pass rush, that will cover up a lot of your shortcomings at that position in terms of personnel.
And if you don't have Micah Parsons, how will it fare without
them? Which you will not at the beginning of the season, but the good news is your schedule's not terribly tough in terms of opposing quarterbacks very early
on. I don't know. Shine On Sports says they're going to start 0-2.
Kyler Murray, and who do they play week two? The Jets, Geno Smith. And then they have, who's the quarterback? Is it going to be Tua in Atlanta?
I would think so. Yeah. Again, you shouldn't rush back from an ACL, but apparently Michael Penix is trying to.
And then it's Baker Mayfield, Caleb Williams, and Dak Prescott the following 3 weeks, which that's a little bit different. So we will see how they fare early on in the season at that position. All right, the rapid-fire round of State of the Packers. What we have missed in terms of marks. Shoo.
You nailed that, too. That's another example of what kind of show you're having. Like, mine is more of a pew, but that's not what he said. You're right on.
Josh has played it so much on our show.
Rapid-fire round, State of the Packers 2026, coming up next, live from Summerfest on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. About a half an hour left. State of the Packers 2026. We are live from Summerfest, just outside of the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone. He is the three-time Wisconsin sports writer, Jason Wilde. He is Mr. Worldwide Game Night. So I am Alex Strofe, hanging out with you, talking all things Green Bay Packers, just about a month out from the start of 2026 training camp. All right, we're gonna play a game. Not yes or no.
No, we're not.
But we're going to do something very similar. Deal or no deal? I'm going to give you a Packers storyline. You tell me if it's a deal or it's no big deal. That makes sense?
Sure.
Let's start with a new special teams coordinator in town. Cam Acord takes over for the departing Ritz Bisaccia. Is that a deal or no deal?
Wait, isn't it like
big deal, little deal, or no deal? I don't know. I just wanted to pay my respects to Howie Mandel.
Did he pass away?
No.
Yeah.
He's just one of my, still with us.
No, isn't he doing America's Got Talent or whatever?
Yeah, he does. He's trying to sell me slip-on shoes.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of TikTok lives, I know. Getting coins and stuff. I don't know. Anyway.
Little deal. I would, if you don't mind me, Howie, changing it slightly.
Do whatever you want.
Because I don't think we can say that having a new special teams coordinator is no deal at all. But I don't think it's a big deal either. And maybe it improves slightly. But again, I think it probably improved more than people give it credit for under Rich Bisaccia. But Rich Bisaccia, it's no wonder that him and Keyshawn Nixon get along so well.
I think it's a bigger deal that they move on for the contract the way they did with McCall Hardman last year, but I think bringing in Sky Moore is a bigger deal. Because to Jason's point...
Who didn't practice throughout the offseason, so I haven't seen him do anything yet.
But to Jason's point, their coverage units were very good under Rich Bisaccia, and that was basically what he could control. The Packers didn't go out, and Brian Gutekunst didn't really ever give him outside of any special teams coordinator outside of Keyshawn Nixon.
Right, and he didn't even get... Keyshawn Nixon wasn't a return guy, by the way, when they got him.
Correct, yeah.
He didn't do that in Vegas.
Yeah.
They turned out to be the best in the league.
But they haven't... They have broadcasted that they haven't really cared about their return units in a long time.
Correct.
Whether it's drafting, signing... Last year, I thought it was with Michael Hardman. They let him go. We'll see what happens with Sky Moore this year. But actually having a dedicated return guy... That's going to make huge difference, I think, for their special teams, regardless of who's coordinating.
Fair enough. Rookie kicker back in town. Big deal or little deal?
Oh, it's a big deal.
It's the biggest deal.
The biggest deal?
I think he's being a little facetious when he says
that. I don't think so.
No, but...
I don't think he is.
Brian Gutekunst is on the record. Championship teams have championship kickers.
2022, which didn't turn out to be a championship year.
I don't know if Trace Mack's a championship kicker.
No, neither does he.
And I know things did not end well in the postseason last year for Brandon McManus. The dude has kicked in a Super Bowl before. He's gotten teams there. And up until that playoff game, he had made, 30 or 31 kicks in a row? So he had kind of gotten over the quad injury that had led to the confusion of everything that happened around the kicking situation in the middle of the season because they wanted to hold on to a guy because can't let him go, so we're going to have two kickers on our active roster. But they've made the decision. Trace Mack is clearly their guy. And my issue is even rookie kickers who turn out to be really good, like Ryan Longwell, are probably going to have struggles in that rookie season. Ryan Longwell missed a 29-yard game-winning kick his rookie year. Now, for that team, it didn't really matter because they were really good. They still went to the Super Bowl, even though that kick cost them home field advantage in the NFC Championship game. They still went up to San Francisco, kicked the crap out of the 49ers, and went on to Super Bowl 32. I don't think this is breaking news. This team is not as good as that team in 1997. If he misses a game-winning field goal and it costs him a game, that could cost them the division. It could cost them a wild card spot. This is a huge roll of the dice that this rookie kicker is going to be different than most of the rookie kickers that have come through here since Mason Crosby.
Yes or no, does Lucas Haversick have a shot to win the job?
No. But he does have the opportunity that if he just keeps making kicks, there could be a replay of 1997.
He can't win the job. He can't win the job. Trace Mack can lose it,
so he can have the job.
Got it.
But that's what I was trying to get, but he said it more precisely.
Well, he's having a really good show. I don't know if anybody's heard that yet.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody's heard anybody say that yet today.
It's the word on the street at Summerfest.
All right, last one for you guys. All four teams in the NFC North finished 500 or above 500.
They did.
In 2025. Is that a big deal or a little deal for 2026?
I want to know what the Minnesota Vikings are with Kyler Murray, because with their weaponry...
You have to imagine that's an upgrade, right?
Yeah, and I
don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I don't either. But, again, I'm not a J.J. McCarthy guy, so I would say even if it's a minimal upgrade, I believe it is an upgrade. But, yeah, look, I think the Lions are way better than a last-place team. I think the Bears are going to backslide, but I don't think Packers fans' fantasies of them being a 7-10 operation is going to come true either. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal that there's four pretty darn good football teams in that
I mean, Minnesota is the most fascinating team because Kyler Murray, on the surface, yes, should be better than J.J. McCarthy, but we're also talking about somebody that is a former number one overall pick that hasn't been able to stay healthy and has had issues staying focused in the past. And I know everybody just wants to say, oh, Kevin O'Connell, he's this quarterback whisperer, unbelievable coach. Mm-hmm. Dude's also never won a playoff game. So,
well, I mean, if you want to get bogged down.
So I think he's a really good coach, but that doesn't mean you're going to be able to reach every single quarterback that comes through there.
Final thoughts and outlook of the 2026 Green Bay Packers season is coming up next as we wrap up.
Wait,
of
we
the
don't
Packers.
Have another hour still?
We didn't add another hour this year. I know that had been the tradition
you
previously.
You said you were going to.
He's got a wedding to get to. Final thoughts, outlook of the 26th season. Coming up next, State of the Packers live from Summerfest on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Wrapping up State of the Packers 2026 live from Summerfest just outside of the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone. He, three-time Wisconsin sports writer of the year, Jason Wilder. He is Mr. Worldwide Game Nights. I'm Alex Stroff. A couple minutes left with you. All right, I want to give you guys as much time as possible, so I will just say this. I really think this season could go any direction. They could go 6-11. They could go 14-3. This is the first time, probably since Jordan Love's first year as a starter, where I really don't know what to expect. We think they're a good team, but we saw what injuries did to them last year. We think they're a good team, but also I feel like we spent a lot of the last 3 hours discussing question marks at cornerback in the offensive line and the defensive front and wide receiver, this plan should work better than previous ones. So I'm eager to see. I'm still very bullish on Jordan Love and think this could be an MVP season for him. But I really don't know what to make of the 2026 season for a team that should be in Super Bowl or bust mode.
Is this the same guy that was devastated when we did this show a few years ago?
Yeah, same guy.
And said they might be 6-11. Look, I think they're a good team. If they stay healthy, they are...
They could be a great team.
They could be a great team, and they are, at minimum, a 10-7 team. Like, to me, if they have a healthy team, they are, the floor is 10-7, and the ceiling is 14-3, winning the division, winning a divisional round playoff game, perhaps even, and reaching the NFC Championship game. I don't see them, unless they suffer catastrophic injuries again, and earlier than they did last year, I don't see them as a 6-11 team. There's too much talent on this team. But the depth concerns and the question marks that we have spent time on during these 3 hours I think are very valid and can certainly take a team that is capable of being great and prevent it from being great.
Yeah, I would just say the 6-11 comment is if they don't stay healthy, right? If they lose Jordan Love for an extended period of time. I don't think they're 6-11 if they're healthy. But there is some question marks on this team that are – I think extra concerning, especially given you don't know when you're getting Micah Parsons back defensively.
But I think we know what the baseline for a lot of those questions are. Now, along the offensive line, I think that's bigger question marks, corners, but question marks you might have at wide receiver or along the defensive front or at linebacker, the way we've talked about throughout the course of the show, are different than Jordan Love's first year of starting in 2023. Sure. There were questions of, we didn't know how good a lot of these guys were on the roster outside of somebody like Aaron Jones and some of the actual veterans that they had on the team. I think we know, like Jason said, that we think the baseline for these guys is pretty good. Now, the questions we have is, can Christian Watson take that next step? Can Tucker Kraft take that next step? Can Jordan Love take that next step from going from being pretty good to being great? And if that happens, that's when you have the special thing happen of winning a division, being one of those top two seeds, potentially getting to a Super Bowl.
90 seconds left. Jason, final word.
I think they are a year away from being a true Super Bowl team. I think they are a team that will be playing late in a division round game for the right to go to the NFC Championship game. Maybe they win, maybe they don't. I don't expect them to be in a Super Bowl, but I expect this team to... All the things that Gabe said during one of the greatest performances in ESPN Wisconsin history were on point. And this is a season of going from good to great for a lot of players. And if that happens, then it could go from a good to a great season.
Gabe, final thoughts.
Man, I was good today, is what it should say.
Well, is this? Are you doing a bit?
No, I think he has been outstanding.
Do you not remember doing this exact same thing last year?
I don't. Did I say that last year?
You did it every
I don't do
segment.
Enough shows with Gabe.
Clearly.
He's so good.
Yes, yes.
There's a reason why the national people want him.
I have good news. We're less than 3 months away from Green Bay Game Day making its triumphant return.
I'm sorry, that's good news?
Yeah, well, you have to spend more time
games.
With me.
I get Gabe. That's the good
the bad
news
is you spend more time
yes
with me.
Yes or no? It's good news that Green Bay Game Day is a few months away.
That does it for us. Big thanks to C-Cat running the show for us back at the Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all studio. We'll be
Woo!
Back with you next year for State of the Packers 2027. Can't wait for that.
4 hours.
Probably. We might Maybe. Need it. We might need it. This has been State of the Packers on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. We will talk to you later. Peace.